The Old Testament reading today is from Jeremiah 29, 4 through 14. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile.
Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Lynn Culberson Phillips, and I just want to share with you how grateful I am to have been invited to share with you here this morning. So, as DC referenced in the prayer, school's about to start. It's back to school time for those of us that are impacted by that. In fact, our teachers in Howard County went and faculty and staff went back on Wednesday. Our students will be joining us a week from Tuesday. And for people who work in the school system, back to school time is kind of like New Year's Eve, right? That's when we make all our resolutions for the year. We make plans. We plan for what we're going to teach. We plan for how we're going to be and how we're going to be better than the year before and how we're going to reach our students. Like a teacher at the beginning of the school year, the trees and the stories, I think that's in our nature. We like to make plans for who we think we are supposed to be, right? So let me ask you this. How many of you either knew or thought you knew when you were a child exactly what you were going to be when you grew up? Keep them up. Okay, so now, how many of you are still doing the thing that you knew or thought you knew you were going to be when you grew up? There's always a couple, and I love that, because you knew your plan from the very beginning. I did not, but we're going to talk more about that later. The trees knew, right? The trees had a plan. Each tree had a plan. They had a vision, a wish for what their future held, only it wasn't exactly the future that they expected. So what I want to share with you today, I want to talk a little bit about how do we know? How do we know what God's plan for us is? How do we know if it's God's plan or our plan? How do we know what we're supposed to do? Does anybody remember a television show called Joan of Arcadia? It was way back early 2000s, right? It's a show about, and it was only on for I think two seasons, but fabulous show. Anyway, about a teenager who's going through kind of a rough patch. She's not in like big trouble, but she's a little rebellious, and God starts to show up and talk to her. And she never knows exactly what God's going to look like or what God's going to say. So we're going to drop in. This is the second time she meets God, but the first time that she actually knows it's God, and we're going to take a little listen. Okay. Now that would be, first it would be scary and maybe a little creepy if God just started showing up looking like any person that you could run into any day, but then it would be easy, right? Because what did God do? God told her exactly what to do, exactly where to go, and exactly who to see. And if God would like do that in that way for me, then I wouldn't even have to think at all, right? I wouldn't even have to concentrate. But I might be like Joan, right? Because what's the first thing she says? Well, yeah, but she also said, what if I don't, right? What if I don't do it? So then if I wasn't going to do it, then maybe God would show up, right, and remind me. And that would be cool, or maybe not. Okay, I love Joan's face because that would be my face, right? Okay, so now Joan knows what she's supposed to do, and she's been reminded that she's supposed to do it. But the thing is, and I don't know if this happens to you, I still have questions. I still question, do I actually know what God wants me to do. And I definitely question why God wants me to do it. And I question, if God's so perfect, then again, why is God messing around with me at all? Like, I understand the idea that God has plans and that I'm supposed to follow God's plans, but I struggle with the whys and the hows. So in this next clip, Joan is talking to God about her older brother. Her older brother's a college-bound athlete who's been paralyzed in a car accident. And she asks God to heal her brother, make him walk again, and God says no. But also says a couple of other cool things. The clip cuts off a little early, but what God goes on to say is, by the way, as an instrument of me, have some pride. Do better. Do your best. Which, of course, Joan says, now I'd like to give you a slap. But that line in there, when God tells Joan, you are an instrument of God, limited by time and space, perfect. We are created to do the work, to be the people that God wants us to be, and to do the work that God wants us to do, perfectly designed to know God's plan and to follow it. And so if God has designed us, has created us to follow God's plan, then it follows that not only can we do it, but we're going to feel a whole lot better if we do. So who does God think I'm supposed to be? How do I know? Well, I want to share with you, back in, I can't remember if it was late May or early June, when the bishop was here and she preached on the same scripture and passionately and brilliantly about the benefit and the joy of following God's plan. But I want how-tos. I'm a how-to kind of gal. I know what I'm supposed to do, but tell me how to do it. So I'm going to share a few things with you that I have found, that have spoken to me, that have worked for me, and see if it's helpful to anyone else. So the first thing we have to do, we have to start by seeking God, right? We have to look for God every day, in the expected and in the unexpected. We look for and appreciate God in small things like the miracle of breathing, or a child laughing, or a sunset, or a kind encounter, all kinds of ways that we see God. And if we look for God, if we see God at work in all different kinds of times and all kinds of places, then we'll be more prepared, right, to see God when we don't know what to do or when something unexpected happens. Mike Carrigan wrote, finding God in the everyday is not a luxury to be experienced as an occasional treat, but a necessity. I like that. If we don't exercise our ability to look for and see God every day, we can begin to lose our center. I know I do. And it makes it harder then to see God when we have questions. My Bible study, my Wednesday night group, we've been doing a lot of C.S. Lewis in the last couple of years. C.S. Lewis said, relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. It's like an athlete, right? They train all the time so that when they have to perform, they're able to. Try living without looking for or recognizing God for a couple of days in a row and see how fast God starts to fade from your consciousness. When you see God in the everyday, you're more prepared to see God in circumstances where you don't know what to do and you don't know what the plan is. So for me, that's where you start. But then I have to figure out, once I know what I'm supposed to do, then how does God get my attention? And again, after the initial shock, it would be nice if God would just show up, like in the guise of a person, and just say, do this. No, I told you to do that. Go ahead, do that, and here's how. That would be great. That has not been my experience. So how do I know what God's plan is for me? So I have a couple of things. The first one is this. You have to work at knowing God. God, who God is, God's nature. Go to church. Read the Bible. Immerse yourself in the stories throughout history of all the people who have experienced God at work, God's plan in their lives, and how that has impacted them. I've done years and years and years of Bible study, and it amazes me that I can read the same verse, the same passage, and have it mean something completely different because of what's happening in my life at the time. If you want to know what God has for you, you have to know God. The second thing, I think people confirm God's work in our lives, right? Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's friends, often it's strangers. I had a friend recently share with me, she's lost something in her life that was important, and she was trying to establish a relationship with a relative that she was separated from. And he initially responded, but then he wouldn't respond when she invited him to dinner. So she went to a neighborhood gathering instead. And she met a woman who had recently been appointed administrator at a school where my friend used to volunteer. This particular school has a very large Hispanic population, and while the children are supported bilingually educationally, lunch and recess was a nightmare for the kindergartners. They didn't understand why they had to eat so fast. They didn't understand where they were supposed to go. And the staff that is available to them at that time was not bilingual. And so for years, my friends volunteered. But anyway, as a result of meeting this woman, she was able to tell her all this stuff they used to do that was really helpful to her. And of course, she invited my friend to come volunteer, and she's going to do that again. Completely random meeting. I think God puts people in our lives that confirm the plans that God has for us. You might feel pulled in a certain direction. You know the feeling. I know the feeling. Your plan is to come home from work every night and get all your housework and chores done so you can have the weekend to yourself, but then you read that announcement about the after-school tutoring program, and you get that little nagging feeling. And you don't really want to call and volunteer, but you do. And you go, and you meet a kid, and you connect with that kid, and that kid shares things with you that he hasn't shared with anyone else. God sends that feeling, I think, to tell us, to confirm what the plans are. You might feel your internal motivation increase. One of the ways that I ignore God's plan is I just carry them around for a really long time and I don't do anything about them. You know I should call that friend who's been had experienced feelings of sadness and depression the last time I saw them, or visit a neighbor who's moved into a residential facility. And then all of a sudden one day I have the energy and I pick up the phone or I get in the car and I do it. I think when I am following God's plan, my motivation increases. I think you can experience a deeper spiritual sensitivity. This was hard for me. I reflected on this one for a long time, but in my life personally, I have recently been feeling drawn to issues around racial justice. But I have not experienced racial discrimination. But since I've been praying about this and reflecting on this, I'm starting to notice words and phrases and events and feeling them in the way I think it would feel in sort of to a person who had experienced that. And it's made me more determined to follow through on that calling. That God gave me a deeper spiritual sensitivity so that I could understand more about the work that I was supposed to do. Not everything draws us towards something God wants us to do. Sometimes I think God pushes us away, and we experience feelings of uneasiness. You know that feeling in your gut, you've decided to take a new job or head in a new direction, and it just doesn't sit right. Now, sometimes it could be nerves, and sometimes it could be excitement. But sometimes I think that's God telling us maybe that is not the direction that we are meant to head. And if you trust yourself and you trust God, you can listen to those feelings. It has been my experience that often when it is God's plan for me, it pushes me out of my comfort zone. One of the very first times that happened was the first time I was asked to do this here at Glenmar. And Ruth Bell is here today, and I don't know if you remember, but I called Ruth and I said, they want me to do the sermon and no one's even going to check it. Can I come over and can you look at it? Of course, she said yes. Way out of my comfort zone. The first couple of times I went up to Sandtown to college and career prep. Last year being asked to help facilitate the Courageous Dialogues on Race. Those are all things that pushed me way outside my comfort zone, but were life-changing for me and faith-changing for me. And the final sort of how-to for me that I want to share with you is sometimes response requires change. I think it's our nature that we don't really like change that much, but the world is changing. Sometimes there's something you've been doing for 15 years that's no longer fulfilling you or moving God's plan forward, and when that happens, you have to change. Our world is changing, and God is calling us to fulfill needs in our community that didn't even exist a couple of years ago. Sometimes God's plan requires change. So let's say we understand that God has a plan, and we're supposed to follow the plan, and God's here. But I still sometimes find it difficult to be sure if I'm doing the right thing. So there's two things in this, well, there's a lot of things in that clip I love, but there's two things I really love. The first thing is God tells Joan, it's simple. I want you to fulfill your true nature. We're created in the image of God, and God by definition is good. And if we're fulfilling what God's plans are for us, it should feel good, right? It feels like that puzzle piece that fits just right. In my own experience, when I finally figure it out, it feels better than good. It feels amazing. And I've said to many people who are in this room right now, if it feels this good, this can't be about God. This has to be about me because I'm getting more out of it than anybody. The other thing God kind of refers to in the clip is that God uses us without our full knowledge or understanding. He tells Joan, look, you won't always know why I ask you to do things, and you won't always get to see the effects. The trees had a vision, right? But God's vision for them was so much bigger and so much better and more wonderful than they could ever have imagined. God made them a better version of themselves. God met them where they were and made a better version of the biggest dream they had, right? And that's what God does for us. He meets us where we are. And if we're listening and we're paying attention, he makes us the best version of ourselves we can be. Has that ever happened to you? I want to share with you a little bit about my testimony of that. So when I ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up, I was going to be a doctor. I was always going to be a doctor. My dad taught med school. I hung out in the lab and looked at all the stuff in jars and bones, and I thought it was cool. And I volunteered at the hospital, and I worked in biomedical illustration in college, and they knew I wanted to be a doctor, so they let me go in the OR when they took pictures, and it was great, and I was going to be a doctor. And then organic chemistry. So it made me think about how much I wanted to be a doctor. And I also knew I wanted to be a mom. And you can be a doctor and a mom, but I wanted to be the mom. I wanted to be the room mom, the volunteer mom, go on all the field trips, bake the cupcakes, all of that. And I wanted to be the doctor that could stay late, that would call their patients, you know, take calls in the middle of the night, that would always be there. And I knew that I couldn't be that mom and that doctor and organic chemistry. So I decided to become a speech-language pathologist. I had also worked at camps for kids with disabilities, and that was a big part of my plan. So speech-language pathologist, perfect. I could work with kids and disabilities. I could stay in science. I could work in a hospital, and eventually when I had kids, I could work in the schools, and I could have the same days off in the summers. And that was not going to make as much money, but that was okay because I was married, and we were sharing that load together, and that was my life. That was the life I planned, and it was my life, and I looked at it, and it was good. And also, I grew up in the church, so that was part of my life. That's what you do. You go to church, and you join things, and I did all of those things. And that was my life, and I was married, and I had kids, and I had a career that fit around all of that, and it was good. And then my marriage ended. I had a 6-year-old, and I had 2 3-year-olds. And I was not expecting that. That was not in my plan. And a couple of weeks after that, I was sitting in church, and I looked at the bulletin. Now, I didn't list the bulletin as one of those 8 things, but sometimes God speaks to you in the bulletin, and there's really good stuff in there, and you should read it more than most of us do. But anyway, Glenmar was going on a mission trip to Utuado, Puerto Rico, the same week my ex-husband was taking my kids on vacation without me for the first time. And did I mention I also at that time had a deathly fear of flying? But I went on that mission trip. Now, I would not be exaggerating if I told you that that first mission trip was not in my plans. Well, it was, but like later when my kids grew up. I would not be exaggerating if I said that mission trip was the first of many experiences that I had that challenged my vision for myself and my understanding of faith and my understanding of how God works in ways I had never learned in a lifetime in the church. I would not be exaggerating if I told you that it was not that trip, but another, one of the worst mission trips for personal experience that I ever went on that led directly to me becoming lay leader of this congregation. At a time when I was doubting my self-worth and I was trying to fit this vision, the end of my marriage and my life the way it looked, into this vision of a good life that God supposedly had for me. I would not be exaggerating if I told you that I felt God took the vision that I had of myself and my life and smashed it into bits. Except I know God didn't smash my life into bits. I was doing what said in Jeremiah. I was planting my garden and building my house and having my sons and all that. Life just happened, right? What God did do, God took the ruins of the plans that I had for myself, that I had built my whole self-image on, and made it into something entirely different. And it was good, and it was true, and it was life built on a faith that I don't think I would have ever come to if I had been allowed to live the plans that I had for myself. So there's a difference between us and the trees. The trees can think and they can dream, but they couldn't act. We can act. The order to do that in the way that fulfills God's plans for us, we have to be able to tell the difference between what are our plans and what are God's plans. What is our will and God's will? Or at the very least, we have to let go of control and be able to see what God's doing with or without our conscious help. And Eugene Peterson's The Message, Matthew 10, 38, 39, reads like this. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. If the trees in the story had their dreams realized, they'd have been happy because trees in children's books can be happy. But they would have missed all these incredible opportunities that God gave them to be a part of something so much bigger and so much better. And more importantly, they would have missed the opportunity to know Jesus and to be part of Jesus' work. When we're living our best lives, when we're following God's plan for us, we're allowing God to be at work in us and through us, we're blessed. We're holy. We're exactly who we were created to be. School is starting, so I'm giving you some homework. I'm going to ask you this week if you would do this. Try something. Every day this week, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Read about God. Listen to God. Notice and remember God at work all around you in big ways and little ways. Repeat it. Repeat it every day this week and ask God to make you sensitive to recognize God's work in your life and in the life of others. Amen?